Hello, and welcome to the Community IT Innovators Technology Topics Podcast, where we discuss nonprofit technology, cybersecurity, tech project implementation, strategic planning, and nonprofit IT careers. Find us at communityit.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Community IT Tech Topics Podcast. My name is Carolyn Woodard. I'm the Outreach Director for Community IT. And today I am continuing a New Year's tradition and grilling our senior staff on some of the tech stories that they are following, particularly how the national tech news relates to the nonprofit sector. So please join me in listening to these experts share their opinions and the stories that they're following with the greatest interest.
Hi, my name is Steve Longenecker, and I am the Director of IT Consulting at Community IT. Two tech stories from 2023 that I'd like to share with you are, one, an important improvement to Google Workspace for nonprofits, and two, a new sophisticated attack on Microsoft 365 identities. The good news first. In the spring of this year, Google announced that they were changing their approach to storage limits for the Google Workspace for Nonprofits tier of Google Workspace. A lot of nonprofits, especially when just starting out, sign up for this tier of Google Workspace because it's free, it provides a lot of basic IT services in one package, and it's relatively easy to implement. But a limitation of this free tier of Workspace was its significant storage limits. A single Google Workspace for nonprofit user account could not have more than 30 gigabytes of stuff across their Google Workspace services. When that limit was reached, the user account's functionality would degrade significantly. Most importantly, the user couldn't send or receive email. But as I said, this spring Google announced a change was coming soon. Google would now give each Google Workspace for Nonprofits customer 100 terabytes of pooled storage. Pooled means that one account can use more if other accounts use less. Pooling alone, even without increasing the total storage allotted, would make a big difference. But 100 terabytes is also a huge, huge allotment increase. It's more than 30,000 times the old per-user limit of 30 gigabytes. This change didn't actually materialize until just a month or two ago, but now, for nonprofits getting this tier of Google Workspace, it has probably happened. You didn't have to do anything. Just go into your Google admin portal, and you should be able to see the new paradigm. Look under the Storage node. Thank you, Google. And now for the story that's not good news. We've been telling our clients for years now that they really need to implement MFA, or multi-factor authentication, for accessing their cloud services. This is familiar to everyone, I hope, but it's the idea that you don't just provide your username and password when you log on to a service. You also provide a second authentication factor that only you have. Most commonly, you click Approve on an authentication app registered to your specific Android or iPhone device. It's important because passwords get compromised. MFA adds an extra layer of defense. Until 2023. In 2023, we started seeing sophisticated attacks that started with a phishing email inviting users to open a shared SharePoint or OneDrive document. When the user clicked on the link took their browser to a server owned by the hacker or adversary, or whatever we want to call these bad guys. But the server didn't just offer up a web page that was copied from a Microsoft 365 logon page. Those are bad because an inattentive user might type in their username and password. When they do, they're typing it into the hacker's server. Of course, MFA mitigates this attack, at least somewhat, because while the hacker might get the user's username and password, they don't have access to the user's Android or iPhone, so with MFA, they can't actually access the account. This year, though, we saw attacks in which the adversary's server actually passed the web traffic through to the real Microsoft 365. It's called proxying. So the logon page that the user sees is the legitimate logon page, Microsoft's. It asks for username and password and for MFA. If the inattentive user provides all that, the legitimate Microsoft logon process authenticates the user and sends back to the user's computer a small piece of code called a token that is held by the user's browser until the token expires. The token is the browser's authentication to all Microsoft 365 services. Tokens save you from logging in every single time you access a Microsoft 365 service. They're great. Tokens are awesome. But this token is passed through the adversary's server, the proxy, on the way from Microsoft 365 to you. And the adversary's server grabs a copy. And with this token, they now have access to your Microsoft 365 account. Wow. At Community IT, we want everyone to get regular cybersecurity awareness trainings so that they are more likely to recognize the original phishing email. With training, vigilant users might notice that the web address their browser shows during that proxy logon process is not a Microsoft address. We're also exploring the use of physical FIDO keys as the MFA second factor, as this technology can apparently defeat this adversary-in-the-middle attack. The cat and mouse between bad actors and security best practices will continue to evolve. 2023 was no different. MFA remains a key component of cloud security, but it alone cannot be counted on. The challenge continues.
My name is Saba Gebru. I am the Vice President of Support Services Department at Community IT Innovators. I oversee and provide leadership to the support services operations, which includes Community IT's help desk, on-site support team, and advanced engineering team. I have been with Community IT for 16 years. Looking back on 2023, from where I sit, I have seen an increase in security incidents. As security platform vendors and professionals implement more sophisticated security measures to protect organizations from hackers, hackers are simultaneously becoming more clever with their attacks. We've noticed that hackers also find more deliberate and complex hacking methods. As a result, we have seen an increase in account compromise cases. I believe this will continue to be the case for 2024 and beyond. It is a game of cat and mouse for both the security industry and the hackers. I've also noticed cyber insurance companies requiring more in-depth information on how organizations are securing their data and network before processing the cyber insurance. As we all know, the pandemic dramatically changed the way many organizations worked overnight. We also know that remote and hybrid work environments are here to stay, and with it comes a need for advanced technologies and easy access to any location, which is why migrating to the cloud is another area that nonprofit organizations were focused on in 2023. 2023 was the year that artificial intelligence emerged and gained the spotlight. Some nonprofit organizations are already engaged in figuring out ways to integrate AI to support their organization's mission. Organizations are using artificial intelligence and machine learning technologies to analyze information to help with predicting trends and planning for the future. Nonprofit organizations are also challenged to think about and create acceptable use of AI within their organization. How do they want AI to be used within their organization? What is the acceptable use of AI? What to do or not to do when using AI at work? Regardless of our thoughts on AI, it is there, it is here to stay for the long term. Lastly, digital fundraising is something I have been hearing about for 2023. Digital fundraising uses a variety of online tools to reach a larger audience. Some nonprofit organizations have already embraced digital fundraising. digital fundraising will continue to be the trend in 2024 and beyond, nonprofit organizations will be rethinking and recreating the donation process to join the digital fundraising era.
Hello, my name is Matthew Eshelman, and I'm the Chief Technology Officer at Community IT. In my role, I'm responsible for endpoint management, technology strategy, and cybersecurity for our internal teams and our clients. When I look back at 2023, one of the things that I think has been underreported is really the rise in sophisticated cyber attack frameworks that allow threat actors to steal passwords and MFA tokens. And looking back in our data from the past year, we can see that we had a number of cases where accounts were compromised, even though they were using some sort of multi-factor authentication. In many of those cases, it was due to a proxy attack that the attacker was able to launch that's intercepted a login and was able to steal those credentials and MFA tokens. And to me, that really demonstrates that ongoing training and education, along with adopting phish-resistant forms of MFA, like physical security keys or certificate-based authentication, is critical to keeping your digital identity secure. I would also note that there have been a number of changes in the Microsoft donation program for nonprofits that I think have gone under the radar. Last year, we saw Microsoft remove the ability to renew those free E1 licenses that many organizations had accrued. And this year, Microsoft has made some additional changes to reduce the Azure donation from $3,500 down to $2,000. So there's also been increases in the overall subscription cost for Business Premium and the other product SKUs. And there's also been a switch away from kind of the pure month-to-month licensing costs into the more traditional annual licensing commitments. Even with all those changes, I think the Microsoft 365 platform still delivers a tremendous amount of value for the products that are included. But those changes, I think, are worth acknowledging as Microsoft continues to refine and update their nonprofit donation program.
My name is Nuruddin Aboki, a senior consultant at Community IT. This year, Microsoft announced Copilot for Microsoft 365, which is a new feature that uses artificial intelligence, AI, to assist users with various tasks and projects in Microsoft 365. This feature can have significant impact on the nonprofit sector, such as improving fundraising and donor engagement. Copilot can help nonprofit organizations create personalized and compelling content, including emails, newsletters, social media posts, and videos to attract and retain donors. It can also analyze donor data and behavior to optimize fundraising strategies and campaigns. In addition, Copilot can enhance operational efficiency and effectiveness by helping nonprofits automate and streamline various tasks, such as data entry, reporting, accounting, and compliance, to save time and resources. It can also provide insights and recommendations to improve decision-making and performance. Furthermore, Copilot can help nonprofits explore new possibilities and opportunities by generating novel and creative ideas, designs, and prototypes. It can also facilitate communication, knowledge sharing, collaboration, between nonprofits and other organizations and stakeholders. While Copilot for Microsoft 365 can bring significant benefits to nonprofits, there are also risks and challenges associated with using artificial intelligence, such as data quality, security bias, privacy, and accountability, as well as regulation. Therefore, nonprofits should carefully consider the benefits and risks of using Copilot for Microsoft 365 and follow best practices and guidelines for implementing and managing projects in Microsoft 365.
My name is Carolyn Woodard, and I am the Outreach Director for Community IT. And I'm jumping in here at the end to thank the other staff who gave us their insight into some of those stories And I just wanted to conclude by saying something that I'm really keeping an eye on, and I know some other people at Community IT are as well, is workforce issues for tech workers. We saw a lot of layoffs in the big tech that I think had, you know, expanded. Maybe they're retooling entirely what they are doing with the nonprofit space, such as Salesforce. Maybe they are reorienting themselves toward AI tools like Microsoft. So there have been a bunch of layoffs, which you would think might flood the IT applicant pool for nonprofit IT, which I think it has to some extent. But we in Community IT, we're seeing, and I think some of our clients are seeing as well, a lot of applicants maybe who are thinking that they will change their careers and move from for-profit IT jobs into nonprofit IT. And maybe that's a good fit and maybe it isn't. So I think we're seeing a lot of people kind of trying out a nonprofit IT career and maybe moving on pretty quickly. There seems to be a lot of turnover, and we're hearing that on our clients as well. There also is just, it's very competitive right now. So there are, as we all know, there's a lot of demand for IT jobs and still not a lot of supply. So IT workers are finding that they can trade jobs fairly quickly. They can try something on and then move on if it's not a good fit, which is always good. Like if it's not a good fit, you shouldn't stay. But that also means that it's very challenging to find someone to fill a role. Maybe you have somebody leaving after, you know, they've been at your organization for a decade and been in charge of IT, an IT director, manager, CIO. And it's just really, really hard to fill those roles, to hire for them. There's also been a lot of consolidation, or there's ongoing a consolidation going on in the MSP space. There's lots of acquisitions. There's lots of MSPs kind of buying up smaller MSPs in order to grow large quickly. And that can mean that you get better service, but often what it also means is that they lay off people and try to find, you know, efficiencies in that way. And so, yeah, there's just a lot of turmoil, I think, in terms of workers, job roles. You know, there's so many changes with AI, as we've heard, with cybersecurity. So there's like new job descriptions coming online, and trying to find the workers that can fill those roles and more senior roles as well, like a CIO role where it's somebody that's on your executive team that really knows your organization really well and can see the strategic difference that IT can make. Well-managed IT is such an asset to an organization, which, you know, if you've ever been in an organization, a nonprofit that has not had well-managed IT, what a kind of a block that can be to your growth as an organization and to your ability to fill your mission. So I think as we're thinking about all of these different stories that are going to be in the news in the next year, that was one part of the puzzle I wanted to draw a little attention to. So if you know someone who's looking for a job in nonprofit IT, now is a really good time to get into this career. If you are an organization trying to hire someone, I would recommend looking at MSPs because they can give you a lot of stability. And, you know, you have a team working for you instead of a single point of management over your IT. If you were to hire that position in-house, you just have one person versus hiring an MSP where you would have, you know, a team of people and some senior people you can call on. So I think that's about going to wrap it up for the top tech stories of 2023. I hope you will join us again in 2024 for our podcast. We do try to bring you, you know, these stories as they're coming out from our senior staff and from guests of the pod. We're always looking for people to interview. So get in touch if you'd like to be on the podcast next year, and we'll see what we can do. And of course, we also post our webinars here, the audio, so you can follow along. If you missed a webinar, we have those webinars monthly. You can register for those on our site, and we look forward to hearing from you and collaborating with you and just following this path through IT for nonprofits in the coming year.
Community IT does these free webinars and podcasts for our community, and we love sharing our knowledge and experience. If you have more questions or are having trouble with your IT at your nonprofit, please get in touch with us on our website, www.communityit.com, so we can start a conversation or schedule an assessment. Downloading any of our free resources there will get you signed up for our webinar reminders, and you can attend our next webinar in real time and ask our experts your own questions. If you love podcasts, please subscribe and leave us a rating to help others find this leadership resource for nonprofits.